Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. There are times when our life feels out of control. Things are happening very differently than we had expected, than we had planned. And we can't figure out how to get it back together the way we would like. Perhaps our marriage is not going well. Perhaps our children or our grandchildren are not following the Lord as we pray each day. Perhaps we ourselves have been hurt by someone's lies, or someone we love has been hurt by what is going on around them, and we suffer. And we wonder why the world is the way it is, and we wonder how we can get some kind of control, some kind of a purpose. It can feel very arbitrary. It can feel very much that people just kind of live by fate or by chance or by luck or bad luck, as the case may be. As Christians, we're told that God is in control, but so often it just doesn't seem that way. And we wonder what is going on. Are things ever going to be better? If God is God, what is He doing about it? Because from our perspective, it just doesn't seem like much good is happening in the midst of these out-of-control situations. And it's a time like this in our spiritual life that we need a story like the story of Joseph from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis. I hope you've had a chance to follow the Bible reading plan this past week and been able to read this wonderful story that begins all the way back in chapter 37. But today we're just going to read the final few verses, or almost the last few verses, in Genesis chapter 50. I'm going to begin in verse 14. Jacob is Joseph's father, and Jacob has died. And this is where the scripture reading begins. After burying Jacob, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had accompanied him to his father's burial. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. "Now Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him," they said. So they sent a message to Joseph. "Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, 'Please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly.' So we, the servants of the God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin." When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. "Look, we are your slaves," they said. But Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children." So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Joseph's brothers have been nervous for quite a while now, ever since they discovered that their little brother, who they thought was long dead, has become second in all of Egypt. He was the one that they traveled to meet, leaving Canaan, where there was a famine, coming to Egypt, where there also was a famine, but Joseph through the miraculous work of God, had been able to arrange things in such a way that the people are being taken care of, and there was enough grain even to sell to foreign peoples. And so unbeknownst to them, the older 10 brothers of Joseph come, and they kneel before him, before this Egyptian ruler, who of course they don't recognize, and they beg for grain. And as the story develops, Joseph eventually reveals himself to them, and they can't believe it. But Joseph treats them kindly. He gives them grain. They eventually return to Canaan and come back not only with their father Jacob, but all of their families, and they settle in Egypt, and they're there for many years. And they prosper as an extended family because of Joseph's goodness and care. And of course, the power that he wields, second only to Pharaoh himself. But now, Jacob has died. And these brothers of Joseph believe that perhaps Joseph is a lot like them, that Joseph harbors evil in his heart. For after all, it was when he was a young man, probably around age 16 or 17, that they had begun plotting against Joseph. They hated Joseph for a variety of reasons. And when he came to meet them out in the fields, they decided they were going to kill him. And then they said, oh no, let's not kill him. Let's put him down into a deep well and just leave him there and he'll starve to death. But then they saw some slave traders come by, and so they yanked him out and said, at least we can make a few bucks off of him, and they sold him into slavery. Now, things have turned. And yes, Joseph has been nice to them, but maybe it's just because of our father. And now that Jacob is dead, he's going to take his revenge. If we're not careful, he's going to have us all killed. And so they send this message to Joseph. And we're told that when Joseph receives it, he weeps. Because Joseph is brokenhearted that his brothers do not believe that he truly loves them and he has truly forgiven them. That he is indeed the person that he's revealed himself to be. That his heart is not like theirs was in relationship to him. He receives the message, and then at some later point, the brothers all come before him and they beg for mercy. And Joseph says to them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph has come in his life to understand something about God that is key for each one of us to understand and to live. And that is why there is much evil in the world, and that evil impacts us in a wide variety of ways. God is able to take anything that is meant for evil and to use it for good. As Joseph is having this conversation with his brothers, he is able to look back over his life. He is able to see how God has been involved in his life, bringing good out of evil. Joseph remembers when, as a young lad, his father sends him into the fields to meet his brothers, to find out how things are going as they're herding their father's sheep. And he encounters the hatred of his brothers. And they do evil to him. He is sold into slavery. When he is down deep in that well, knowing that they're going to leave him to die, when they pull him out and sell him into slavery, is Joseph kind of singing praise be to God songs? I don't think so. I think in those moments, as evil is happening in his life, he is saying, why, God? I don't understand it, God. Just a few days ago, I was living in my father's house. He had given me this brilliant coat. He loved me. He cared for me. And here I am. All of a sudden, I can't believe what has happened to me. Sold into slavery. Purchased by a man named Potiphar. And now things start looking up for a little while. Things are good. Indeed, the Bible says, if you read back in earlier parts of Genesis, that God was with Joseph. And so I think things are picking up for Joseph. Things are looking better. He's prospering and he's helping Potiphar's household prosper. But then Mrs. Potiphar takes a shine for Joseph. And I think you know the story of how she entices Joseph and Joseph refuses and runs away. And she accuses him of essentially trying to molest her, to rape her. And he's thrown in prison on an unjust accusation. He did nothing wrong. He did exactly what he's supposed to do. He took off. He fled from evil. And yet evil was able to grab a hold of him and throw him in jail. I imagine as he sits in that jail cell, he's angry. Angry at Potiphar's wife for her lies. Angry at Potiphar for believing her, at least taking her side in the whole thing. Perhaps angry with God. I've tried to be the person you called me to be. I was sold into slavery and I've tried to honor my current situation and things have been good for a while, but here I am. What is going on? Is anyone in control? Are you even there, God? And then he meets the Pharaoh's cupbearer and the Pharaoh's baker, and they have some dreams, and God gives him the ability to interpret those dreams, and the baker and the cupbearer are called back to Pharaoh, and the dreams come true. And Joseph has said to them, please be sure to tell Pharaoh that I can interpret dreams, what happened here in prison. But the cupbearer, who actually was elevated to his former position, the baker was killed, just as the dreams had foretold. But the cupbearer forgets about Joseph. We're told for 2 years beyond however long he'd already been in prison, he languishes in prison. God has given him the ability to interpret dreams, but it doesn't seem to be doing him any good. Have you forgotten me, God? I don't understand what is going on. Oh, Joseph may be in this conversation in Genesis 50, looking back at his life and saying, oh, God, you have been good to me. And I'm grateful, and you're bringing about all this good that I'm now seeing. I'm able to feed not only my family, but the whole nation of Egypt and many other nations beside because of your work in my life. Oh, at that point, he can look back. But when he's in the middle of all the evil, all the hurt, all the anger, all the pain and despair of what is happening in his life, none of it deserved. He's asking, I am sure, why, God? And you and I do the same. It's one thing to be told God is in control, but it's totally different when you're living in circumstances that seem totally out of control. So why does God allow these things to happen? Why is there evil in the world that God has created? And Genesis tells us that when he created it, it was good. And even when he created human beings, it was very good. What happened? God did something very important. God allowed you and me, his human creation, to follow our own will. He gave us a freedom of will to follow our decision, our will, our desire, our way, rather than following his. When he created the world, and especially later, when he chose a people for himself, Israel, and he gave them his commandments, he revealed his will to us. He said, this is how I want you to live. And yet, from the very beginning, he says, but you have a freedom to reject my will. You have the freedom, when I say do good, to do evil. And some people look at this, at least they hear this, and they say, that must mean that God is weak. That God is unable to kind of make us do things His way. That God would like to be in control, but He really isn't in control because I get to control things. God's will is weak because He gives me freedom to exercise my will. But you know, the reality is it exactly the opposite. It's not because God's will is weak. It's not because His control of the world and what happens is inadequate. It's exactly the opposite. It is because His will is so strong, His power is so all-pervasive, His plans will always happen according to His purpose, that in the greatness of His freedom, He is able to allow you and me freedom of will without in any way impacting His ultimate freedom. Yes, you and I can take control. You and I can do evil. We can reject God, His will. We can reject His Son. We can reject His Word and what He reveals of Himself to us in His Word. We may do all of those things because He has given us free will. But at no point will our free will be able to keep Him from doing the good that He has planned. He is able to take whatever evil comes along in this world in whatever form it comes along, and it will not stop Him from doing what He has planned to do. The brothers of Joseph see Joseph coming from a distance, and they start a conversation. Here comes little brother. We're far away from home. Dad can't see what's going on out here. This is our chance. Let's kill him. And we know they don't kill him. We know what happens. Don't have to go through that again. But they're doing evil. And in case we wonder whether they're doing evil, Joseph says, you did evil. It's right there. There's no question they did evil. How were they able to do that? Didn't God have great plans for Joseph? Of course He did. Did Joseph's brothers have very different plans for Joseph? Of course they did. And does it look like that their plans are what prevail? Yes, it does for a while. They're able to get rid of Joseph. They're able to do evil to him, and he suffers because of the evil that is done. And God, in His wisdom and in His purpose and His plan, does not step in at that point. Certainly not, He does not step in and keep Joseph's brothers from exercising their freedom of will. We want to do evil to Joseph, and God lets them. No, God doesn't always let evil happen, but in this case, He certainly did. They had a freedom. God does not coerce our will. We are able to say no to God in all kinds of ways, and evil results. But it does not keep the plans of God from being accomplished. That is the message of the Joseph story. And Joseph, at the end of the story, gives witness to that reality, a witness that Scripture encourages you and me to give to the reality of our lives. And when we find ourselves in the pit, sold into slavery, falsely accused, in prison, we have an opportunity either to say there is evil and God is not present, or we have the opportunity to say with Joseph, God meant it all for good. I wonder if Jeremiah the prophet, who writes quite a bit later in the Old Testament times, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, he speaks these words, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, and they are plans for your good, for your hope, and to prosper you. If those are God's revealed plans for you and me, His people, is there any evil in the world that will keep that from happening? And the witness of Scripture is absolutely not. Moving to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, writing in his letters to the Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, even more poignant to what is going on in the Joseph story. All things work together for good. All things work together for good. All is all. It has to include the evil things. And I think that's exactly why Paul says it that way. All things work together for good. For those, here we go, who love God and are called according to His purpose. God is in the business of caring for you and me, His people, who love God, who have been called according to His purpose, and His purpose for us, His Jeremiah plans for you. God is at work in all that is happening in your life and in my life. In all the good and in all the bad, in all the right and in all the wrong. In all the times we follow the will of God and all the times we disobey and follow our own will, God is at work. And the Joseph story says that He's at work to bring good out of evil. We could spend much more time in Scripture looking at story after story after story. We could look at the most important of all of the good out of evil stories. It's a man named Jesus. Tremendous evil was done against Him. Falsely accused. He was hung on a cross for sin, and it wasn't even His own. No greater evil has been perpetrated by human beings against another than the evil done to Jesus. And yet no greater good has ever come from anything that has happened in this world than the good that came from the crucifixion, because it is only because of His death on the cross and for no other reason that you and I can be forgiven and we can be here today and say we have been saved according to the purposes of God. If God can redeem that greatest evil ever perpetrated, He can certainly redeem any evil that is happening in your life or mine. Will we see it immediately? Probably not. Will we feel all the pain and struggle and difficulty? Will we have moments of shaking our fist at God and saying, "Why, God? And I don't get it. And this isn't right." Absolutely. Again, read the stories. The Bible is unapologetic about all the people who yelled at God and said, "This isn't fair." If you want a real long one, read the story of Job in the Old Testament. About 42 chapters worth of a good guy being treated really badly and how that worked out for him in his relationship with God. God is in control of this world. God is in control of your life if you love Him and are called according to His purpose. There are those who will refuse God, and He will be refused by them to the very end. And God will say to them, "Thy will be done." Those who reject God will reject God into eternity. He will not force them into heaven who choose hell. But for you and I who have chosen God, there is no evil that is able to keep God from performing the good and the loving and the wise plans that He has for us. That's the Joseph story. That is the biblical story. Hold on to that. No matter where you find yourself and how you're responding to it, God can handle it. God can handle it. You can know that all things in your life will work together for your good, because God is the God who brings good out of evil. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, this story of Joseph is an amazing story. Really only be able to touch on the very end of it here today. But I do pray that if we haven't taken the opportunity, that we would take the opportunity to go back and start reading it from the beginning. It doesn't take that long to read those chapters 37 through 50 of Genesis. And just to see how the story unfolds and to recognize that not only is a story of something that happened long ago, but it is given in Scripture. Because we're so much like the Joseph story. We experience things. Not necessarily to the same degree as did Joseph, but boy, there are a lot of similarities. And we have human beings in our lives like Joseph had his older brothers. People who want to do us harm. People who are sometimes successful at doing us harm. There's a lot of bad stuff in the world, and some of it touches us in a variety of ways. And it's easy to despair. It's easy to be angry. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to wonder, why, God, don't you just wipe out my brothers right here now? And then Joseph has the opportunity to do just that. All he had to do was snap his fingers, and those 10 brothers would be dead on the spot. He had that kind of power, and nobody would have questioned it. And yet he knows you. He says, am I God? He knows he's not God. He knows that he does not have the permission by God to do evil. He could have, but he knew the better thing was to do what God desired him to do, which was to love and to forgive these brothers, regardless of what they had done to him. And it just seems to me, reading the Joseph story, that we're told he lived to age, 110, something like that, that he lived an amazingly happy life in spite of all the hard things. Because he trusted in you. He hung in there with you. And when he had a chance to repay evil with evil, he didn't. He repaid good with evil. Not just because he was a good person, although I think he was, but because he knew that that was your will for him. And he knew that was the very best way to live his life. So help us to live our lives in that same very best way. And to know that regardless of the evil, you are able to bring good out of no matter what happens to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.